Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the show, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security, joined as always by the host with the most, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Tony Sager. How are you, sir?
Hey, Sean. Great to be back with you.
Wonderful. And we are joined today by none other than Mr. Ed Skodas. Now, Ed, I'm going to go through kind of the formal introduction. So, president of the SANS Institute Technology College, CEO and founder of CounterHack, speaker, author, board member, advisor, and I'll give my introduction, if I may, is I call you the godfather of penetration testing.
Thank you.
And also on the Mount Rushmore of penetration testing, Mr. Ed Skodas. Ed, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm blushing. There are other things in my resume that I'd like to add, though. Friend of Tony Sager. I'm very, very proud of that. And friend of Sean Atkinson. So I thank you guys for inviting me on the show. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks.
Wonderful. Absolutely. So what we wanted to talk about today, Ed, is gaming and competition in cybersecurity. How that has, how we've seen it evolve over time, you know, what you've seen, what you've also contributed to, and even in some cases, in my perspective, curated a whole industry in terms of gaming and competition. So when we're thinking about these topics, Ed, and we want to address considerations, both for the design, the implementation, and also creating a gamified learning environment, how do you really assess building such a capability, one that attracts new personnel to cybersecurity, and then also is there for those that are veterans necessarily?
Sure. There's such a wide space here in gamification of cybersecurity learning. You know, you mentioned this sort of broad spectrum of building something that's good for new to cyber versus people that are very, very experienced and such. And there are capture the flag events, cyber ranges and such that are geared toward just new to cyber. There are some that are, you know, geared toward very, very experienced people. And then there's ones that are kind of wide ranging, which is what we try to do with NetWars or the Free Holiday Hack Challenge. And I've long said this to people. It's rather easy to write an easy cybersecurity challenge. It's rather easy to write a hard one. What's really hard is to try to write it across the different spectrums, right? I cut my teeth doing CTFs 30 years ago. Where I would compete at DEF CON in the big CTF there, going for the black badge. And that's kind of where I learned the basic mechanics of how these things were put together. But those were very advanced challenges. But then I started looking at some other CTFs to see how they could appeal to people brand new to cyber and trying to cover everything in between. But to get directly to your question, when we're building one of these challenges, we always start out with learning objectives. What is it that we're trying to learn? And then right around the same time that we're doing that, we start thinking of theming. You know, is this something that we're going to, you know, play straight so it's going to feel like you're doing your job, which some of our ranges do that? Or is this something that we want to make whimsical and fun and, you know, really emphasize sort of a stylistic world that you're getting into, which we do for like Holiday Hack Challenge. So we kind of ideate, if I can use that verb, around what are the learning objectives and what is the theme? And we do those together, maybe starting with the learning objectives, but get the theme in early enough so that it can feel natural. And then the two kind of reinforce each other.
Yeah, Ed, I remember talking to you in the early days when you were thinking of this at great scale. And you have, for our audience here, you have a basement that every geek would die to have, but you were setting up kind of the early versions. And one of the things that really struck me was the, you know, the multidisciplinary approach that you built in to start with, right? So it's not, there's the sort of software packet analysis, reverse engineering that you think about, but the ties to physical space, thinking about command and control kinds of things. Can you walk us through, like, I know there was a bit of experimentation on your part to figure out how to build something that could bring all those disciplines into one game environment.
Yeah. So, like I said, when I started doing this stuff 30 years ago, playing the DEF CON CTF, that was very offensive based. And I kind of pretty quickly, in the space of 5 or 6 years, maybe that's not so quick, came to the idea, this is a tremendous way to learn. I learned so much from Capture the Flags that I thought I could help other people learn by building out this kind of capability. And while there are certain CTFs out there that are very topical and focused on a narrow range of topics, like offense, say the DEF CON one for exploit discovery and exploitation, or vulnerability discovery and exploitation. There's others that are maybe forensics oriented. Some are cyber defense oriented. Some are OSINT oriented. I really wanted to focus on challenges that are across the board that cover a bunch of different skills. Because I have actually a pretty strong feeling that I think all cybersecurity technical people can get better at what their craft is by learning the other crafts. In other words, I think you could become a better pen tester by learning digital forensics. I think you can become a better forensics person by learning cyber defense, because you'll be able to see where it went wrong and so forth. I think you become a better cyber defender by learning offense. I mean, we talked about that forever, defense by learning what the attackers do. So I've tried to create and have my team is really the ones that make all this happen, but I've worked with my team to try to create things that are multidisciplinary. The Holiday Hack Challenge is multidisciplinary. Core NetWars is multidisciplinary. But some of the things that we do with SANS, in addition to Holiday Hack and Core NetWars, are more centered on just one thing. Some people just want to take D for NetWars. They want to focus on digital forensics and incident response. Some people want to just take, cyber defense NetWars. They want to focus on that narrow thing. But my team, I try to get them to do these cross discipline topics, because I think that makes us all sharper cybersecurity folks. I mean, I've learned, back in the day, I learned so much from Tony, and he would talk to me about, hey, if you want to be a really good red teamer, you need to make sure you understand the blue team craft. Now, of course, everybody's talking with purple teaming and such, but Tony was one of the early thought leaders on that. And I took my lessons from Tony Sager and brought them into my SANS classes and said, hey, don't tell me you're just red. If you want to be great red, you better know blue as well. First of all, so that you can thwart it. And secondly, so you can make recommendations to make it better. But don't give me this, you're just pure red, because you could be better than that. You could be red that helps inform blue. And same thing with blue. You can be blue that helps really understand red and pushes red to do even better, to up the game. And there you go.
I appreciate the generous nod. And
it's true, though. It's absolutely true.
What I had at NSA was, at some point, both the red and the blue teams, and was able to sort of bring them face to face or in the same organization. But what astounded me was, for example, on the customer side, people didn't realize, again, this was back quite a few years ago, red teamers are great at what they do. And then the commander would hear the report and go, wow, you guys are amazing. Tell me how to redesign my network so that doesn't happen again. Well, it turns out essentially no red teamers had the kind of background knowledge, training, tooling, on even the language of defense, which is a really different kind of a game. So if you couldn't work them together, you really lost the opportunity, right? That is, the point of the red team was to generate information that would drive defense, but there's a different set of skills, and you really latched onto that immediately.
Exactly. And cross-training in those skills makes the whole thing better. It really does. Because the attackers are going to constantly innovate. And if we can't have blue push red to innovate, and red push blue to innovate, we're going to continue to fall behind. And gamification can really help with that. Whether it's a red on blue, a gamified environment, which we've done those before, or whether it's just a multidisciplinary environment where you've got people who are traditionally offense learning defense and mixing it all up and seeing how it can be applied in different different areas.
Well, I think that also brings into an ability to laterally think in some cases with problem solving, critical thinking. As we go through, sort of a Jeopardy style type of approaches to CTF and things of that nature with multi-disciplined approaches, I think this also helps enhance necessarily those skills, Ed, because I see going through a problem solving element, thinking purple, as it were, from both sides of the house, as it necessary, that is hugely a part of what I've seen in Holiday Hack Challenge and other CTFs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we mention what Holiday Hack Challenge is?
Yes, please do.
So Holiday Hack Challenge is a free challenge that SANS does. We've done it 21 years now. And it's completely free. It's a virtual world. You get a little avatar and you hop around. And there's a storyline that evolves. You have to solve cybersecurity challenges. Offense, defense, forensics, OSINT. I mean, all of these different things. And there's a holiday supervillain who is bent on destroying the holiday season by preventing Santa from delivering the gifts to the little children around the world. And you have to essentially stop the cyber attack so that the elves and Santa can do their jobs. And like I said, we've been doing it 21 years. This year, we launch it the second week of December, but due to popular demand, we're launching it the first week of November. So it launches November 7th. And we're also doing, so because people would come to us and they would say, hey, you know, I love Holiday Hack Challenge. We've had 20,000 people play, right? I mean, 20,000 each year. So if you add that up over 21 years, it's more. But anyway, 20,000 play each year. And people would say to us, you know, during the holiday season, believe it or not, I like to spend some time with my family. Can you move Holiday Hack Challenge and put it some other time? And people would suggest, what about July? No, we're not going to put Santa Claus in July. It's not going to happen, you know? So what we did is we moved it a month early. It's going to go from November 7th to January 3rd. But we do leave all the challenges up for a full year. So if you want to play in February or March or July, you can. But if you want to compete in it, it goes through January 3rd. But it starts November 7th. The other thing we're doing this year that we haven't done in the past. So even, you know, those of your listeners that have played in the past, we got great new stuff for them. We're going to launch a month early. We're also going to do a phased launch. November 7th will be prologue. Prologue is just the start of the game. You register your account, you get your avatar, you explore the world a little bit. There's a little bit of the world in there, and you'll solve two challenges. And they're video game challenges that you got to hack, which is fun, right? Then November 11th, which will follow by 4 days, that's when Act 1 launches. And there'll be three or four challenges. You'll get up to the North Pole. You'll be able to explore around, see what the elves are up to. November 18th is when Act 2 launches. And then things get bigger and more dire. You start realizing the plot line and what's going to happen. We're then going to take and not release any new content the week of November 25th, because that is the Thanksgiving week in the United States. Then December 2nd, Act 3 launches. And that's the culmination of the whole story. There'll be 3 to 4 challenges in Act 1, 2, and 3. And then you'll be able to play through January 3rd. So that's what Holiday Hack Challenge is. There's music. There's an album that we release every year. It's all fun holiday music. And those albums, by the way, if you have any streaming service, you know, whether it be Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, all of our albums are up there for the last 6 years. So just do a search for the artist Holiday Hack Challenge. So if you like some of those songs, I mean, they're fun songs. I commissioned them from some great artists.
Okay, listeners, you've been informed and challenged at the same time.
There you go. There you go. And it's, again, it's all free. This is our gift to the community. It takes about 14 months for us to make a Holiday Hack Challenge, which means I'm already working on the 2025 one now as the team finishes up and gets ready to launch the 2024 one. But anyway, in that challenge, you know, back to the question that you asked, Sean, we really do try to do multidisciplinary. We really try to do everything from new to cyber to the most advanced folks that are playing. We try to make it fun and silly. But always, 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 these are real world skills that people need, that we are building ourselves in our security consulting work, that we see SANS customers and SANS classes needing. So that's kind of what we put into this. And it's, you know, we do it at the highest quality we can. It's not like we have our commercial ranges that they're the best quality, and Holiday Hack is sort of this afterlink. If anything, Holiday Hack is where we do all of our cool, cutting edge experimental stuff. So you get like a taste of what we think the CTF events of tomorrow will look like.
Well, and this is amazing. And I had a pretty good idea of the work here. But by the way, the industry is glad that you still have time for a day job after you design this thing every year. Because this is a massive, non-trivial, and, you know, wonderful gift to the community, as you said.
The team works hard. It's really the whole team, the whole CounterHack team. We have 19 people now, and they work super hard on Holiday Hack Challenge, and I push them. I push them really hard.
I mean, can't imagine.
The stuff I'll say to them, it's unfair. You know, I'll play one of their challenges and I'll say, it's nice, it's technical, it works well. It's not whimsical enough. For goodness sakes, can you make it more whimsical? And I had a guy on my team once, he's like, whimsy, where am I supposed to come up with whimsy? I'm like, I don't know, just make it whimsical. I don't know.
Level 2 whimsy or 5? What are you looking for?
Go 10 whimsy. Come on.
And for our audience, you know, Ed's always got a big smile, but I can imagine he's quite the bear to work with. I'm just telling you. He is full speed, high standards, all good.
I do love the team, but I do push him. I do push him in a nice way. It's like, hey, come on.
And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Operating systems in the cloud are vulnerable to malware, misconfiguration, and more. That is, unless you securely configure them. Enter the CIS Hardened Images. These virtual machine images come pre-hardened to the CIS benchmarks, providing built-in security and compliance you can trust. Available at less than 3 cents per compute hour, CIS Hardened Images save you time and money managing your cloud security posture. Available on all major cloud service platforms. So spin one up today by visiting cisecurity.org.
Thank you. And let's jump back into the episode.
So let me take you back a little bit, Ed, because one of the uses of competition in gaming, and one that I know you explored a lot with Sands, is as a means to spot people with talent and potential, but don't have sort of traditional academic or work credentials. And you guys have done a great job of using this kind of machinery to find people. And so, if you tell us a little bit about kind of the thinking behind that, and then, but when you find these folks, this was the way Alan Paller often described it, right? You find them who have the right brain that lends itself to this, and they tend to score well in these kinds of things. But then they have gaps in their academic background or experience. And so you have to see it as identify, but I also now have to put them on a path for success. So what else goes along with that part of it?
I mean, there's so much that comes out of gamification and CTFs directly in those lines. We have companies and government agencies that we work with who will do internal CTFs for their existing staff and not just pull in, say, your cybersecurity people, but pull in more general technical people, or even maybe non-technical people who might be interested. So you can measure, do they have some skills already that maybe they don't use in their normal job? Maybe somebody in your administration staff, and I don't mean sysadministration, I mean personnel or something like that. They might have some skills that they developed on their own, or at least some aptitude for it. So run one of these things, open it up broadly internally, and then you might find some of the people that are very strong in certain areas, or at least have capabilities in certain areas that you didn't even expect. So that's great. And then running them sometimes publicly, we've been commissioned to run some of these things publicly to help identify people outside your organization that might be good potential hires. Also, you can use gamified environments to say, hey, here's where my team is strong. Where are they not so strong? And what additional skills could they develop? Sands is doing a lot with AI on that. That is to say, okay, here we have a cyber range. Maybe it's NetWars or something like that. Here's the learning objectives. Here's what it can measure. Here's how this person scored, what they got right, what they didn't get right, what they tried and failed on, what they tried and succeeded on. Then using AI, tell me what skills they lack, or at least they seem to lack, and give me recommendations for building that. And it turns out the various AI models out there are pretty good at that doing that kind of analysis. They're better than doing it by hand, and certainly doing it at scale. So that's some experimental stuff going on inside of Sands, but it's pretty neat. And the nice thing is, they're leaning on our team to help build the ranges that give the raw user experience, the gamified experience, the fun, we hope, experience. But then on the back end, there's some serious measurements that can be done, optimizing of your org chart based on that, and pulling people into the right positions, moving people between positions, and then identifying learning paths for them to go forward.
Yeah, I think that's what has always struck me is the opportunity to sort of open the pipeline, identify people who might not even realize that they're good at these. And, 100 times more than I do, but I know quite a few of these diamonds in the rough that were found through just unexpectedly, someone whose hobby or something about them, their curiosity, their willingness to experiment in complex situations, just like wow, there's talent there. And then you might not have spotted it otherwise.
It's almost magical when this comes together, and you can find somebody and lift them up and put them in a place where they can thrive, you know?
No, very, very impressive. And I was involved in some of the, and NSA internally made a lot of the kinds of shifts that you talk about. Interdisciplinary analysis was, you know, clearly going to be in our future and all these, but we're doing everything manually. And so you have a lot of, you know, amazing people who are helping drive that, but very low repeatability, very low scalability, right? You can't scale the elite core, you know, one at a time, and it's sort of transactional. And so you're, you know, being able to put the work of gamification in this context of a, you know, really large scale identification and development of people is pretty amazing.
It really is. It's just such a fun thing to be able to work on. It's an honor. And to put these things together and then watch them, it's always, you know, scary when you launch a new thing. Like any new product launch is always scary. But when you put something out there, hey, 20,000 hackers around the world, here's something for you to hack. Oh, good luck with that.
I can't imagine the waiting for that magic moment of release.
It's funny because in game, you know, we all know when we turn it on, right? And we have all of our little avatars that are, it's called a spawning point in a game. It's where the player first materializes, right? Interesting word, spawning point. And we're all gathered around where the spawning point is. And then suddenly 100 avatars rush past us. And they all run and we're like, hey, we're here. And my whole team's standing around, you know, as our avatars. Before we launch, we always get a group photo of us in the game. We're all standing there with our avatars and, you know, smiling and everything. And then all this onslaught comes in.
Oh, you've earned the right to have some fun with this too.
It's a good time. It really is.
Oh, wonderful.
I also, just as it's not only, I think, a way of identifying talent, which it certainly is, but I also use it for group dynamics and for teams, right, that you put together and utilizing these platforms. I really do get a sense that it helps in these types of environments to bring, you know, as you even mentioned, Ed, you know, different members of different departments coming together to solve a problem. It works absolute wonders for both motivation, for internal communication, has really a knock-on effect. You know, it becomes the stone in the pond, as it were, and then you ride that wave as it goes out, and it's transformative in a lot of cases. And it's, you get to do it in a fun way, and it's, you know, everything's, you know, more relaxed, or depending on the gamer mentality, it may be more intense. But is such a, I think that also has positive effect, Ed. You know, as we see groups coming together, utilizing it as a way to converse and work through problems together, I think that opens up new opportunities. Yeah. As well.
They see each other's strengths and can therefore self-organize to play to those strengths. You know, Fred over here is really good at packet analysis. So we got some packets we've got to look at. Whereas Jane is amazing at looking at, you know, file system artifacts. So they kind of self-organize that way. And also they establish a battle rhythm, which, you know, when you're doing incident response, battle rhythm is everything, right? And when they're playing a game, there's a battle rhythm that gets established. And if you can have that team practice getting into that rhythm, they will be able to do it more quickly next time around.
Exactly. I mean, it becomes experiential learning in a lot of cases to then real life application. And I see so much, Ed, one of the things just to compliment your team on is not only the variety of challenges, but how those evolve over time with new technology. It's not just going back to the repeated recipe, as it were, that we've seen. It's constantly pushing new barriers. How challenging is that? And is that something you require as part of Holiday Hack Challenge and building this?
We do. We do try to push the envelope and try to think of challenges that nobody's thought of before. I mean, there are tried and true ones. Tony alluded to some of them earlier. And we don't want to eliminate those. You know, I kind of caution my team sometimes. It's like, there should be some packet analysis. I mean, it's just such a fundamental thing of what we do. There should be some file system analysis. Malware analysis is more important than ever, but let's take into account what the latest stuff is going on with ransomware. We've got one in this year's Holiday Hack Challenge. You've heard of Lockbit, right? Mm-hmm. In this year's Holiday Hack Challenge, our capstone challenge is called Frostbit. It's Frostbit ransomware. And the darn thing, it's deployed by the attackers. It encrypts the naughty nice list. Right. And the attackers, you know, the bad guys, they have the decryption key on a laptop that gets hit with a snowball, which destroys the laptop. You can't recover the decryption key. So you've got to reverse engineer Frostbit figure out its cryptographic mistake and then be able to recover the naughty nice list, because Santa can't deploy the presents unless he's got the naughty nice list, right?
Yeah.
So we look at what's happening in the real world. We also try to model things that nobody else has done before, at least at the scale that we're doing it. A lot of physical challenges. Like one year we had, it was a key grinding machine in game. And there was this character that would kind of walk around, a non-player character, and on his belt was a key. And if you zoomed into the key, you could see the actual shape of the notches, and you could go to the key grinding machine and grind a key beat, and then you'd be able to unlock the door. Or we had a fingerprint reader once, where if you happened to have Santa Claus's fingerprint, you could hold it up and then get in there, or you could hack it. There's another way to get around it. Another one that we did was we had hid cards. I actually got one on my desk here somewhere. So we have a hid card, and I know you can't see this, but this card, if you get a machine called a Proxmark and you get within certain RF distance of this thing, you could clone this card. So we gave players a virtual Proxmark, and they'd have to get close to one of the elves who had the hid card, you know, on his belt, and you'd have to clone the card, and then you could get into the secret room. So this year we've got a cool thing. It's a hardware hacking challenge where you have to, you're given a little circuit board and you got to wire it up. And it's all virtual, right? It's all online. You do this in your browser. But the little wires are kind of springy when you kind of stick them together. And the coolest thing is, if you don't wire it quite right, and if you wire it in certain ways that are, well, incorrect, it fries the circuit board and the little blue smoke comes out. So you know, we try to do stuff like that that's just showing the physical consequences of some of these things. But there's always web app stuff in there. You know, we've done stuff with blockchain in the past where the blockchain gets hacked in various different ways. We do mobile application analysis. One that I really want to do at some point, I don't think the technology is quite there, certainly because this is all free, right? But I want to do something with quantum cryptanalysis. I've had my team working on it for about 3 or 4 years, just experimenting with the offerings from Google and Microsoft and IBM to say, can we do one of these? One of my guys, Tom Liston, I think you know him, Sean, he was working on it a couple of years ago, and he was able to come up with a challenge where Santa and the elves were able to, for free, factor the number 15 into its primes. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking 3 times 5, but you didn't do that with any qubits, darn it. So he could do it with actual qubits. And I said, that's just not good enough. I'm sorry. But someday, that's sort of the holy grail for us, is when we get a quantum cryptanalysis challenge for free in Holiday Hack, Santa Claus will be very happy. You know, we did one where we had an in-game cryptocurrency that Santa created. And that was very interesting because it leaked out when we did that. You know, back in 2008, in fact, I think it was just the anniversary of this, Satoshi Nakamoto released the paper on Bitcoin. Well, turns out that was actually Santa Claus, because Santa Claus was working with that technology back then. You can't spell Satoshi Nakamoto without S-A-N-T-A. So did you, maybe this for some of your listeners, the first time they knew that Santa Claus is actually Satoshi.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, right. So you heard it here first.
He's there first. Santa Claus is experimenting with blockchain a long time ago, sure. Experimenting with cryptocurrencies. So we had an in-game cryptocurrency a few years ago. So we're doing, you know, new stuff. But again, there's certain core cybersecurity skills that we want to make sure everybody learns. And we model those in there too. But try to do it in a fun and whimsical way. So it's not just the same packet analysis all the time.
Well, I think they hit your whimsy criteria there several times just in their stories. So we appreciate that. So listen, you know, you mentioned a couple of things about, you know, you get to learn about things like group dynamics and, you know, how to manage teams like that. How do lessons learned get extracted and shared either at, for example, like an organization that you that participates, or at a larger level, like for
sure.
Input to SANS courses or things like that? How you know, what do you do after?
Yeah, so there's so many levels of that, Tony. I mean, one level is every player or every team gets a scorecard that says, here's where you were strong, here's where you weren't strong, in our commercial ranges, like the networks range. So, and then, for certain customers, we will do an analysis of this and say, okay, here's the team dynamics of it. So SANS will do an analysis to say, okay, here's the people that are strongest in this particular discipline, and how does that map up against how you've teamed them up with others and even teaming them up themselves? So we do that analysis and then also make some recommendations for where further skill development is necessary. So SANS does that. Some of our customers do that on their own. They do a range or do holiday hack and say, what did we do well? But SANS does offer that as a service. When we do these exercises for military, which we, you know, we'll do, there's always after action reviews, the AARs, right? It's, you know, what did we sustain? What did we do well? We want to keep doing. What do we have to change? Tony knows all that, that terminology. And then one of the things that SANS pushes me and my team on is, what did you build for Holiday Hack Challenge this year that we can learn from and use in future ranges or even classroom environments? I get a call from, you know, the head of SANS every year saying, tell me what you learned from Holiday Hack and how it's going to make all our products better. Which good for him for pushing on me. So I mean, that's the thing. Again, it's steel sharpening steel, right? So we hope our players get better. We hope we get better and are offering better products because of it. And we're all doing it in a way that's fun. That's what gamification brings to it, is that fun.
Yeah, that's what has really struck me when you know, when this went from kind of just sort of pure fun, I'll describe it, you know, sort of competition, who can capture the flag, to really part of a much bigger machine, right? Of identification, development, sustainment, training, keeping up with technology. And I think, you know, it really uses the technology that we're trying to, improve the security of in a way to help us improve as practitioners, as people who deliver value in there. So I think, you know, you've just done such an amazing job, and I really, really appreciate the backstory on some of these things, and the complexity under the hood is just astounding.
It's the work of the whole team, you know, and then the industry really has come around this way. You know, if you look at bug bounty programs, it's kind of a gamification with some dollars behind it, right? And just the wider spread opening toward gamification, the acceptance of CTFs. Most, you know, hacker cons or B-sides cons today have some sort of CTF that is there, or multiple CTFs. So it's just a delight to see that. And then again, steel sharp and steel, you know, we look at the other people's games and see what they're doing that looks interesting. And there's a little bit of one upsmanship there where we're trying to do this and that. And and you want your own unique, fingerprints on this stuff too. But, you know, Tony, you did mention, you know, it's hard. I'll tell you, the hardest thing in putting together one of these things, it's not the whimsy. It's not even, you know, imagining, you know, what new stuff is needed and building that out. The hardest things is scalability, reliability, and concurrency, and hitting all three of those. It's hard with 2 players. It's hard with 100 players. It's hard with 1,000 players. It's hard with 20,000 players. But how do you scale? How do you do concurrency where multiple people are smacking at the same time? And how do you be resilient? So many ranges that we'll see, even military ranges, fall apart within an hour of the game starting. And we try to not have that happen. We push the stuff, we test it. But that's the hardest thing that it is to do in this space. In my 20 plus years experience in building these things and 30 years experience in playing them.
Amazing. Yeah, that's the, you know, people don't appreciate the complexity of all this, as you said. And this is a, you know, this is not an ongoing product. Don't worry, we'll patch it next time out.
Yeah.
This is you get one shot, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
So I think, but you know, this combination of the technology, the entertainment value, the, you know, hitting the sweet spot of not too hard, not too soft,
yeah,
you know, and that everyone gets an experience out of it that really is worthwhile, in addition to just the joy of participating, is just amazing.
That's my big focus now, because we're in the run up to this thing this year. My big question every year this time, and my team knows it and hates it, is it fun enough? Is it fun enough this year? Because, you know, last year was so fun, and I got it. I'm not yet there. I think it's going to be fun, but I'm not sure. And in the next few days, I will be coming around to thinking this is fun, or let's spread a little more fun here. And, you know, there's, you know, how do you quantify fun? I don't know, but I know when I see it. And part of it is, I don't want people to get frustrated, but I want them to have a sense of accomplishment when they've done something. And that's a balance right there, because you want maybe just a little bit of frustration so that when you accomplish it, you feel like you've done something real, right? So, you know, and you can sprinkle breadcrumbs. That kind of helps a little bit. You know, making things that are beautiful kind of, I think, adds fun to it. Puzzles, mysteries, challenges, cliffhangers. We want you to solve one challenge and then say, I want to see where the story goes, to go to the next challenge. All those things kind of swirl around and make the thing fun. I mean, there's even basic stuff like giving you points when you do good things. So you get a dopamine hit, as opposed to taking things away from you. So you get mad because you've stolen things from me. Those are all principles of gamification. You have additive scoring. You give them a choice of where they want to go in the adventure, right? So that, I mean, some games are very linear, but most people like games where they can explore more. So, I mean, all those things fold up into gamification and fun. And a lot of people on my team, they play a lot of games. You know, video games as well as other kind of board games and all that kind of stuff. So my team has kind of an encyclopedic knowledge of gaming principles, platforms, ideas, ways that I'll say, this just doesn't feel right to my gut. And they're like, well, why don't we borrow this idea from this game or that game? We borrowed a lot from Super Mario and Nintendo this year, just conceptually, to make the game more fun and interesting. A new thing we've got this year, every challenge can be solved in easy mode or hard mode this year. And when you're a player and you see, in the past, we just write a challenge that was solvable in one way that we thought. Now, some people would find other ways that were easier or harder, but just one way that we knew. Mm-hmm. This year, we had a requirement. Everything has to be solvable in at least two ways that we know. One is much more straightforward. One is more complex. Coolest part is you as the player don't know what you're doing. You solve it. And if you solve it and you get a silver star, that means you solved it in easy mode. If you get a gold star, you solved it in hard mode. Well, what's the difference? Well, easier mode is fewer steps and may give you a less complete answer. If you solve it in hard mode, you might get a deeper answer. It might be a different answer. You know, who is the adversary? You do it in easy mode, you discover it's this person. You do it in hard mode and you get a little deeper and you see that the easy mode was obscuring something and now you've got a deeper, more powerful answer. Or maybe there's another adversary, a second adversary that easy mode didn't even know was about, right? And then once you've solved it in easy mode, you can go back and resolve it in hard mode. And you're like, well, how do I know that? Well, the non-player character elves start hinting you about hard mode. But you can ignore them if you want. I mean, you know, you don't have to. If you want to go through the whole thing and just get all silver, we're happy with you. That is totally good. But if you want, some people want all gold. That is an idea that we got from Nintendo and how they write Super Mario. Because you can solve things in easy mode and get your silver star or hard mode.
So you got to share a secret here. How do you keep track of all the characters, situations, the encounters, and so forth? I mean, it's like you're writing a new novel every 14 months.
It really
is. Except it happens to be online, interactive, and read at the same moment by tens of thousands of people.
We got the coolest thing. It's really neat. So, you know, we've been working with Santa and the elves now since 2015. And the storyline, you know, it's additive. Now, if you've never played before, you don't have to know what's happened in the past. But sometimes the story will refer to things like when the Naughty Nice list was on blockchain and got hacked by Jack Frost back in 2022. Actually, one of the characters will mention that. That's why we've moved the Naughty Nice list off of blockchain, because it got hacked back then. So it's an additive storyline. Also, we have all these characters. There's Alabaster Snowball. Right. He's one of our elves and he's a bumbling fool, but he's very sweet and kind. We, you know, we have Candy Cane Striper, paint stripes on candy canes, who's another recurring elf. So we've got like 10 or 12 or 15 recurring elves plus Santa. And we've been writing dialogue manually for all of the elves since 2016 or so. But last year we fed the dialogue for each elf into an AI and then told the AI the storyline. And the AI created the dialogue for us.
Very good.
And this is all in an automated workflow, right? Now, the thing of it is, though, we had to do some edits. It wasn't quite right. But now the actual dialogue for our NPCs is 80 to 90% generated by AI based on the story we tell it to tell and the characters that it's been trained to learn how to speak like from the last 8 years of data.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's the team. The team made that.
Yeah. Oh, I really appreciate the complexity and the fun of that, right? To both use new technology and experiment a bit and find, you know, when they make the all these editorials about, you know, the meaning of AI for cybersecurity, I'm not sure that generating scripts for the Holiday Hack Challenge will make the list of the typical magazine. But you have a real story here. Yeah.
But you know, we did learn a lot about how using AI to automate your workflows can allow a team of 19 people to do the work of 40, you know? So, I mean, it amplifies our team's abilities.
Okay. Now you have Sean's attention.
Yes. So, Evan Booth from my team has done a lot of that automation, but other folks too, Thomas Buva and, Eric Persley and such. But Evan did a presentation that he's delivered at a couple of hacker conferences on amplifying your team's capabilities through, automating workflows with AI. And it's brilliant stuff. And he tells you how we did it with Holiday Hack.
Ed, we want to keep going, but it's the end of our episode, sir. Again, thank you so much.
I could go all day talking to you guys.
Absolutely.
Right back at you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And November 7th, the prologue, Holiday Hack Challenge. Make sure to go to Sans Holiday Hack Challenge to subscribe to get notification. Join, I'll be there, always there on the platform. For the last 10 years, I've been a participant, and it is absolutely a phenomenal experience. Again, thank you, Ed, Tony, for your insights into gaming, competition, team dynamics, individual skill development, and identifying talent in the industry. With that, we want to thank you, our audience. Make sure questions, comments, concerns, podcast@cisecurity.org. And with that, thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.